You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Last week on this broadcast, we talked about sin and forgiveness. God forgives the sins of people in spite of everything, everything they are and everything they do. He does this for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for the sins of the world. God forgives for the sake of Christ. This must be the greatest good news the world has ever received. Jesus Christ rubs out all the black marks made by His people, all the liabilities they have incurred, all the demerits that build up such a case against each one of us. He does that through the blood of His cross, through the goodness of His heart, with incomparable compassion that speaks for all of humanity. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The good news needs to be accepted as the good news it really is. If it is looked upon just as talk, some of the fiction, like some of the many stories that are told, what is the good of it all? If it's just another fable, albeit a nice religious one, why pay any attention to it? The cross of Christ is not a fable. The blood of Jesus Christ is a part of human history, a page that can never be torn out. The cross is there, testifying to the destructive power of human sin and to the saving power of divine grace. It is God's heart, laid open for everyone to see. The heart of God appears in a practical way for everyone to see in the lives of people, ordinary people, whose lives are turned around with the confession of their own sins, repentance for their own wrongdoing, and forgiveness from God for anything and everything that has always stood between them and God. It is the beginning of a new day, with the past wiped out, dark and dreary as it may be, and the future constantly brightened by the grace and glory of God, opening up a new path in Jesus Christ never seen before. Wonder of wonders, it's the road of forgiveness. Forgiveness explains what turned the life of St. Paul around. His hard heart, encrusted with human hostility and hatred, became a soft heart, full of love and compassion, something like the heart of Christ Himself. It was a tremendous change, resulting in an unbelievable willingness to forgive others, as God, for the sake of Christ, had forgiven him. St. Paul told about it on a number of occasions. In his letter to the Colossians, he urged people to learn how to forgive. Put up with one another and forgive one another if someone has a complaint against someone else. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you. If you had to pick out something that our world needs more than anything else, what would it be? What is needed most in family life, in human relations of every kind, in struggles now going on between whole nations, trying to resolve problems that have persisted for centuries? When it comes right down to it, it is plain and straightforward forgiveness, where people put the past behind them, as God in Christ has done for the whole human family, and start out on a new track governed by new motives and a new way of doing things, the track of forgiveness. Forgiveness is always personal. It cannot be practiced on a piece of paper. It cannot be programmed into a computer. Forgiveness is extended by a personal God in a personal way to people. And it must be extended in the same personal way to one another by people who have been moved by the Spirit of God to receive forgiveness gratefully and to extend forgiveness graciously. Receiving forgiveness and extending forgiveness is tremendously important, all important, for all of us. We all have a desperate need for approval. People have a yearning to know they are accepted. They need to hear someone say, "I love you, even though you aren't perfect." Children need to hear that. In the trial and error experience of life, children need supportive parents to tell them, "What you did was wrong, but we love you." You can improve. We expect you to move forward instead of backward. Children who don't hear that grow up warped and twisted. Parents need to hear the same thing. Very often they feel like failures. They're at odds with one another, and they know they could have done a better job with their children than they have. They're grateful to hear children say, "Father or Mother, we love you. We tried to get away with things, but you wouldn't let us. We failed, you forgave us. And we always knew you loved us. Now we want you to know that we love you." A lot of people never come to the realization that they themselves are not perfect. As a result, they usually turn out to be the world's worst perfectionists. Everybody else is supposed to be perfect, just as they imagine themselves to be perfect. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I'm not so bad. I'm a good person," compared with drunkards, wife beaters, child molesters, robbers, rapists, and murderers. I've known a lot of people who think of themselves that way. Some of them are religious and others are irreligious. It just goes to prove that religion is not the answer. What is needed is genuine repentance and genuine faith with a realistic view of ourselves, producing genuine humility and a realistic view of God. Seeing Him in Jesus Christ with genuine confidence in Him, which is true faith that moves mountains. God says to you at this moment, "I love you even though you are not perfect. I forgive you for the sake of Jesus, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Listen to Him. Whoever you are, for the sake of Jesus, God's Son, God no longer holds your sin against you. Your sins are forgiven forever. When your heart is warmed by God's amazing, forgiving love, you're bound to forgive others. It's not just a nice idea. It is the necessity of life. It's what life is really all about. It's what the world needs. It's what the family needs. It's what communities need. It's what you need. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us." Jesus added, "If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done." It's not easy to forgive. I know that, and you know that. Still, it is absolutely necessary to live the forgiven and forgiving life. If you refuse to forgive others, difficult as that may be, you will trumpet to the whole world that you do not really accept the forgiveness of God. When you forgive others, contrary to every expectation, you let the whole world know that you are a forgiven person yourself, freed from the old rat race by the grace of God that has come into your heart through Jesus Christ. It's what Paul was talking about when he said, "Put up with one another and forgive one another if someone has a complaint against someone else. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you." A woman who formerly edited a magazine for women told me about another woman whose name she had omitted when she listed people who had worked faithfully over the years. When she discovered her error, she felt terrible. In deep remorse, she wrote the woman a letter of apology. This was the woman's reply. "Such a crime," she wrote, "deserves 10 lashes with a wet noodle." With a magnificent flash of humor, that woman showed what she was made of. She had taken to heart what St. Paul said, "Be kind, tender-hearted toward one another, and forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you through Christ." When you forgive others, you identify with them. You know how they feel, and how good it feels to be forgiven. Whenever you think about forgiving others, certain disturbing questions do come to mind. One of them is, "I can forgive, but how can I forget?" When God forgives, He forgets. "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I put your transgressions from you." We know how difficult it is to erase a wrong which has sunk deeply into your mind like a dagger. How painful it is to erase the memory from your mind You keep your distance from that person. Your temperaments and personalities constantly clash. You think you're learning to be more independent. Actually, all you are preserving is your resentment, your bitterness. It eats away at your own heart. What you need is to accept that other person as he or she is, warts and all. The faults and the foibles need the health-giving quality of human forgiveness springing from a love like the love of Christ himself, the love of God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Someone may say, my spouse is an alcoholic. He treats me terribly. Although he apologizes for it when he is sober, he goes right out and does something worse. Will I have to put up with this forever? Not necessarily. You have to decide what is truly the loving thing to do. That's never easy. It wasn't easy for God, and it won't be easy for you. You might have to seek advice from someone else. A pastor might be able to give you some suggestions. Maybe the most loving thing you can do at the moment is to say to your spouse, either shape up or ship out. I know that that does not sound like love, but there are times when love has to speak plainly. But it must always be love, demonstrably love. It must be kindness, done in a kindly way, even though it may look as if you're wielding a scalpel. Meeting sin can never mean that you hate the sinner. It does mean that you forgive time and time again, always showing patience and kindness and consideration that you yourself would never show if it were not for the absolute conviction that God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. It's actually what Jesus requires. If someone sins against you 7 times in one day, still you must forgive. That's not the way of the world. The world returns insult for insult. It does not pray for patience. The world shows little love and is quick to take offense. It does not pray for others. Following Christ, you learn how hard it is to stay mad at someone whom you're always praying for. I can just hear someone say, a crime was committed against me. Does forgiveness mean that I should not press charges and let him go free? Not necessarily. Again, you have a difficult question to answer. What is the most loving thing for me to do under the circumstances? Love is soft-hearted, but it does not mean to be soft-headed. Perhaps the most loving thing to do under the circumstances is to protect the rest of the community by pressing charges. Hatred and hostility, however, are not the answers. They never provide any answers. God himself says, whatsoever a person sows, that will he also reap. People have to live with the consequences of their sin. Still God loves, and still God forgives. He forgives the sinner, and he expects the same thing of each one who has received that forgiveness. You do not deserve forgiveness, and neither does anyone else. We receive forgiveness by the grace of God, and you give forgiveness by the grace of God. Nothing is more godlike than to forgive. Nothing is more difficult for anyone, including God, than to forgive from the heart. Nothing is more wonderful than forgiveness freely given and forgiveness freely received. Forgiveness unblocks the channels of life, whether toward God or toward one another. A pastor tells me that he received a letter last spring from someone who sincerely believes in Jesus. The man wants to honor God in his daily life. Still, he has been deeply hurt by others and expects the pain to last for a lifetime. Part of his long letter said, I want to forgive them. And maybe I have. But I really don't want to see them for years, if ever. I do catch myself fantasizing about revenge and enjoying the thought that they must be suffering tremendously from guilt, and they might even have heart attacks. That man still has a way to go, as all of us have. It's hard to forgive an interfering mother-in-law, a bullying husband, a nagging wife, a selfish daughter, a lying son, parents who bug us and friends who snub us. What does it mean to forgive? It means not to hold a grudge, not to seek to get even, not to take revenge. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness means not to try to humiliate or hurt those who hurt us. It means not to keep on digging up the past. It means not to repay evil with evil, but to do good to those who seek to do you harm. Forgiveness means to put something out of heart and out of mind. It means taking the forgiveness of God gratefully and extending the same kind of forgiveness graciously as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. Finally, the test of forgiveness is love. St. Paul added right here, add to all of that love, which is the last link in the chain of completeness. It is love that covers the multitude of sins. It is love that makes the world go round. It is love that saves, like the saving love of God who gave His Son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. He looks for nothing less in the lives of each one of us than love, which refuses to be conquered, even as the love of Christ will always remain unconquerable. Who will benefit the most from love and forgiveness like that? You will. In love and forgiveness, people show their strength and become strong again. They become real people, able to take adversity and even to bear prosperity, which is one of the most difficult things in life to do. Each one has to find it out for himself. I had to find it out for myself. Forgiveness works. The good news from God has power to save, convincing you that you are forgiven. Forgiveness comes to you from God for the sake of Jesus Christ. Forgiving others is also good news from God, as the gospel of Christ shines forth in your life, bringing healing and health to others. It's the hug of God. It's the silent prayer that comes from the heart. Deal with people not as they deserve, but as God, for the sake of Christ, deals with you. As God has forgiven you, so also you. It is the hug of God. Amen.